hadn't been there that long, and my supervisor just like told me one day, she's like, I'm going to come and get you on Saturday and we're going to do something. And like, you know, I was relatively new. My Japanese just wasn't brushed off enough at that point. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I just understand that I need to wake up early on a Saturday and drive really far away to do some kind of work thing. And I show up and there's a giant fish and they're like, okay, we're wrapping tuna today. And I'm like, and I live in Aomori. This is what we're doing with our lives.
Amazing.
It was so great.
Hi, I'm Jennifer, and welcome to the Crew Japan Podcast, a weekly podcast where we take you on audio journeys through Japanese culture.
This time on Crew of Japan Podcast.
Welcome back. Today, we're traveling to the most northern part of mainland Japan, when there is abundance of nature, tasty apples, and a highly acclaimed summer festival. It's Aomori Prefecture. In this episode, you will not only learn our thoughts on the prefecture, but we're joined by a Japan travel expert, Kay, from Japan National Tourism Organization, who has appeared as a guest on our podcast numerous times now. Along with her, we are joined by Megan DeVille, a former Aomori Prefecture JET, and who has also been on our podcast before in Season 1. With their help, we will embark on a journey to Aomori Prefecture to discover the sights and adventures it has to offer.
I will, you know, want to point out that there is Aomori City, Aomori Nebuta, and then there's also a Nebuta festival in a town called Goshikawara. That's known as Tachi Nebuta.
Why you should add it to your itinerary on your next trip to Japan.
And I think Aomori is a great destination for people who maybe they've done, you know, what we call the golden route, that Tokyo, Mount Fuji, Kyoto, Osaka. They've done that. They want to see another side of Japan.
And the essential tips and tricks you must know before going.
Just be aware of that and do know that you do need to reserve your specific seat ahead of time if you're taking the Shinkansen up to Aomori.
After listening to this episode, you should have everything you need to begin planning your travel up to Aomori Prefecture. All right, and we are back with the podcast. Doug and I are back. We are going to finally talk about some travel to Japan since the borders finally are officially open. As of October 11th, borders to Japan are open, so tourists can go and enjoy Japan now.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And on top of that, just keep in mind that there are some requirements when traveling to Japan. You know, you have the vaccination requirement, which is 3 shots, so 2 initial and a booster. And then on top of that, if you chose not to go the vaccination route, then you would have to take a pre-departure PCR test 72 hours prior to your trip. And that's trip departing from your airport leaving for Japan, not necessarily your home. So keep that in mind. But yeah, the borders are open. Woohoo!
Those are the only requirements. And I have to say, pretty easy to get to Japan. I think all of us can agree that any form of requirement is good as long as the borders are finally open.
So without further ado, we're going to just jump right into today's topic, the prefecture of Aomori. And fortunately, we have been able to be joined by a special guest who's been on multiple episodes before, Kay Allen of JNTO.
Hi, Kay. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming. And then we also are joined by Megan DeVille. For those of you who joined one of our JET episodes, she came on and talked about the JET program. Hi, Megan. How are you?
Hey, I'm so glad to be back and talking about my second home away from home, Aomori Prefecture.
Yes. So, Doug and I, sadly, don't know too much about Aomori, but we do know that it should be traveled. My impression of Aomori, though, the reason why it's probably not as traveled is, honestly to say, too cold. I live here in Louisiana, where, you know, we don't get too cold, so snow and I don't mix.
That seems pretty fair, like a common conception. I remember when I got my placement in Aomori, I was definitely concerned about the same thing.
Yeah, and I mean, the one time I've traveled there was in the summer, and I can say it can still get really hot.
Really?
Yes. Oh, August is like a sauna still. Well, it's August in Japan.
About so. For 2 weeks or so.
I guess that must have been the 2 weeks that I was there then.
The great thing is that there are always the really fun ways to warm up when you're in a snowy place. You always got the hot springs.
This is true.
Definitely my favorite part of winter.
So, Kay, what is your experience with Aomori Prefecture? Like, where have you been? And, you know, what is your impressions of the prefecture? Because we already know Megan went there for the JET program through her last episode with us. So what is kind of the places that you've explored?
Sure. So I've been to Aomori a few times for different reasons to do with work and otherwise, and had brought some media through there to kind of highlight the region. So I've gotten to go to Aomori City and Hirosaki and the Tsugaru region. Got to explore Oirase area and the Oirase Gorge, which is beautiful. Also a little bit of Shirakami Sanchi, Lake Towada, which is really beautiful. Yeah, but I want to definitely get back and see some of the archaeological sites, visit Hachinohe. Those are top on my list, and maybe make my way up to Oma for some tuna.
And it's funny because, our listeners can't see, but Megan's over here shaking her head like, yeah, yeah. So, Megan, my question for you, though, with Aomori Prefecture is you found out your placement for JET was in Aomori. What were your expectations and what was like the actual experience, like the two versus each other?
We were talking earlier in impressions, like I was definitely worried immediately about being a New Orleans girl in freezing cold Aomori, and having that kind of shock of this different climate. And it really was that way. You know, it was cold. The day that I arrived was July 27th, and it was probably about 68 degrees and kind of misty outside. But you really do acclimate to it, and it becomes cozy. Kay was talking a little bit about getting into the onsen, getting under that kotatsu, and you really learn how to be cozy in that environment. So while it was still really challenging for me, I think the whole prefecture just felt cozy to me after living there for a while, whether that was temperature-wise or community-wise. It was just a really cozy place to live.
And where exactly were you? Because you weren't in Aomori City, right? You were outside of it?
Yeah, it was about 40 minutes outside of Aomori City by train in the Suguru Peninsula. I lived in a little town called Kanita that had about 4,000 people in it.
Awesome. Yeah. So pretty much what I'm getting is the specialness of Aomori is just that feel of like comfort.
It's very welcoming. It's very comfortable. It's very Inaka.
Yeah. I always think of the warmth of the people. Like it's a cold place, but everybody's warm-hearted kind of a thing.
That's cute.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, okay. So we were talking about how cold it was. So like climate-wise, but it's kind of positioned in a very far off place for travelers. You know, Doug, he went to Fukushima Prefecture, right?
Or
Yeah. Okay. And so we always talk about people, you know, not wanting to go traveling on that coast of Japan because it's a little out of the way from the typical Tokyo, Kyoto, Osaka. But Aomori is like way up there. So it's like just how does travel to Aomori Prefecture work? Like how many mountains do y'all have to go through? Like, the bullet train? Like I could imagine.
Yeah, it's actually really easily accessible, surprisingly, by bullet train because the bullet train for Tohoku ends in Shin Aomori Station before it picks up the Hokkaido segment, goes underneath the water, and takes you to Shin Hakodate Hokuto, which is the first and last stop in Hokkaido for the bullet train. So I think it's probably going to be about 3.5 hours, give or take, by bullet train. And then if you go by plane, which you can fly to Aomori City directly as well. And there's also great domestic flight savings opportunities from both One World and Star Alliance through ANA or JAL to do those domestic flights. So you could easily hop around, go from Tokyo to Aomori in an hour and 20 minutes. It's only 10 minutes less than the Sapporo flight. So yeah, there are a lot of ways. And then once you get there, you know, you've got the Aomori Railway, JR East is operating through that area. You've got highway buses that can take you around to some of the more rural areas, local buses too. It's still surprisingly accessible. I mean, you're getting a lot of commuters throughout the whole country, so there have to be comprehensive public transit systems available so that everybody can kind of move around.
Right. And then earlier you were discussing kind of like the nature of Aomori, how, you know, so I'm guessing like there are mountains, you said something about like a lake. So it's pretty diverse in, you know, nature, it seems.
Yeah, no, definitely. You have not just the like Lake Towada area, which actually that's part of the Towada Hachimantai National Park. But then you also have a quasi-national park as well. And I think that's Tsugaru. You have a lot of nature. You have the beautiful Shirakami-sanchi through the area, and that's absolutely stunning on its own. But then you have Oirase area too, which is great for hiking. There's just waterfalls all over the place, especially during the fall. It's absolutely stunning. I was lucky enough to be able to visit that area during autumn, and you know, the leaves are all red and orange and yellow, and there's just the gorgeous little stream that goes through Oirase, and you can just hike throughout the whole area. They even have nature guides that are there as volunteers that will take you through, and they'll explain, you know, everything about all the different waterfalls, which all have their different names and different stories. And yeah, so that's a really stunning area. And then you have the Shimokita Peninsula, which is another just wild, beautiful area. And they even have their own endemic species of horse there called Kandachime. And they're these short, fat, stout little horses that are super, super furry. And their name literally means horse that stands in the snow or in the cold. Yeah, they're shaped and furry like that so that they can withstand the really cold winters in Aomori, which actually I believe gets the highest snowfall of Japan. So you can drive, you know, if you take the mountain road that takes you to the Oirase area or to Lake Towada, you'll see these, you know, if you're there during, you know, summer or fall, you'll see these stakes out of the ground along the road, and they're color coded most of the time to show you, you know, where the snow height can get up to. And they are constantly measuring the snowfall that way. And it's insane how much snowfall you get. It's kind of reminiscent of the Tateyama Kurobe Alpine route that you can find in the Hokuriku area near like Nagano and Toyama, that you drive through those like walls of snow. It's like that, only, you know, when it snows like that, like the roads just shut down, you know, you're not getting through there.
I want to pitch out there too, you know, Kay, I'm so glad that you were able to go to the Towada area in the fall. That sounds incredible. I went in the spring, which is also really beautiful. Yeah. Just like those fresh green leaves where they're that very gentle green and the sun almost seems to like go through the leaves. It's really beautiful. And Lake Towada, and there's a number of like smaller ponds and lakes in the area. The water is so crystal clear that you can see the bottom, and it looks like the bottom is like you could just reach in there and touch it, but it's really like 50 feet deep. It's insane. It's really beautiful. And a couple other areas on top of all of the ones that Kay has talked about, I have to give a shout out for Tapizaki, which is in the area where I taught English. It's the northernmost point of the Tsugaru Peninsula. There's just really incredible views from there, especially of Hokkaido. There's like this stone there, like this monument, and it's got this red button on it. And when you hit this red button, this stone blares for all the universe to hear. The Enka song Tsugaru Kaikyo, which is like Aomori's one claim to fame. It's a whole lot of fun. So if you ever have the opportunity, like you literally take the Shinkansen to the last stop, you take the train to the last stop, you take the bus to the last stop, and then you're at Tapizaki and there's nowhere further to go. It's a lot of fun. And the other place of note, if you're over on, I believe it's on the Shimokita side, Osoreza, which is like an active volcanic area. It's considered to be kind of like Japan's version of hell, so to speak. It's got like these bubbling Karens, and you can smell the sulfur and stuff like that. So it's a good little trek if you're in the area looking for something a little bit spooky.
That is cool.
That is. And you kind of mentioned, you know, something that, you know, they're known for. And that's kind of like going into my next question is, foreigners, we usually know about places in Japan, depending on like maybe history books, something happened there, or, you know, news even today, you know, oh, you know, this happened in Japan. Is there anything specifically that Aomori is like known for, like in history or like news that could be like recognized by people possibly?
Man, there's a lot actually. And one of the things that I thought was the funniest that has really taken the global media is Inakadate's tambo art. So the rice paddy art, which happens in this tiny little village in Aomori called Inakadate. And I even had, you know, magazines reaching out to, you know, get more information, interview the people who design it and put it together. And they're creating these incredible works of art that obviously have to be seen from very far away to be able to see the pictures on them. And I don't know if you can pull it up for yourself, but it's really cool. They're doing all kinds of different pieces and even things from pop culture. So everything from, you know, traditional Japanese works of art, you know, like the famous tsunami wave, all the way down to like Star Wars. And I think we saw that also in the Nebuta Festival that they were doing Star Wars themed floats, but they're pulling out all kinds of traditional art and pop culture. I think they did the Mona Lisa not too long ago. Yeah, but it's just really cool. And I wasn't expecting that to be the thing that went viral and took off for Aomori. But and then, you know, of course the Nebuta Festival is really famous, but Aomori is a very archaeologically significant area in Japan. I think they have the most Jomon period sites of anywhere else in the country. I think with Hokkaido being like a short second place in that. But these are sites that literally have 10,000 years of history. So it's really, really cool to be able to go and see all of the pieces that they have been able to restore and preserve, and how they've been able to kind of rebuild some of the archaeological sites to look how they were, you know, 10,000 years ago. So it's really insane to be able to see. That's why I want to get out to Hachinohe. There's a really significant site out there. And I think it's called Korekawa, I believe so. I don't know, Megan, if you know, but I think it's called.
The opposite side of the prefecture for me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but this is it's a very significant portion of Japanese history, not just time-wise, but also it being essentially the start of Japanese history and culture. So you can kind of see how things were born out of that. And the Jomon era pottery is really important and treasured as well. So they have a lot of national treasures in that prefecture.
One other piece of history I wanted to ask about was in Shingo Village, the final resting place for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I was wondering if that would come up.
Of course Doug would bring that up.
Yes, I have heard about this. I've also, you know, thought perhaps maybe that wasn't one thing that Aomori was going to want to promote necessarily to Americans, but
you know, maybe you not officially, but I feel like the just that hearing about it, people are like, oh, what? And then they go to Aomori because it's like one of those unofficial like touristy spots. But you don't have to touch on it. I remember hearing about that before, and I just want to.
It was certainly a hit with the Jets.
Yes. I do recall having seen that, I think, in a brochure that passed through our office and going.
So they do advertise it.
it passes through and then it just keeps passing, right?
Aomori's got to dig deep sometimes, y'all. It's okay. When it's not Nebuta season, it gets a little bit sparse. Well, I do want to mention, too, it's a little bit obvious, and I'm sure we'll touch on it in a little bit. Hirosaki Castle is, you know, one of the original castles, original style castles. I think it's actually just a piece of a castle, but it's quite beautiful and they're very proud of it.
Oh, yes. I actually remember I was living in Japan when they were moving the castle. And that was a whole big thing, is that they had actually shifted the location of the castle And it wasn't even by too terribly much, but I mean, it's a huge undertaking to move a castle. So I remember that being kind of all that the news was talking about, was this big undertaking to shift the location of Hirosaki Castle just by, you know, a bit. I don't even remember how much they moved it by, but that's kind of all I think about when I think of Hirosaki Castle, is all of the news going crazy about it.
Yeah, I'm sure the residents over there were very fond of, you know, watching the whole process. I feel like Japan, there's a lot of spectating about it.
Right, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I guess I wanted to take it from there. Some of the big cities in Aomori, obviously Aomori City, is that the largest? I'm assuming it's the largest. I didn't actually do the fact checking on that.
I believe so.
I do believe so, yeah.
Outside of Aomori, we can come back to that in a second, but outside of that, are there any other, like, what are the notable cities in Aomori Prefecture?
So there are quite a few. Hachinohe, of course, we talked about that being an important area. Oirase as well. And then, aside from Hirosaki, another really big one, Oma is also, it makes like a real name for itself because of the tuna that they bring in, which they have some of the, actually, I would just say it's the best tuna in Japan and definitely worth going and eating. But there are tuna auctions for sometimes over $1 million at Tsukiji.
Yeah, I thought I heard about that. And that was one of the places I thought I had heard of because of the massive tuna that is brought in.
It was not in that location, but I have participated in a tuna auction. It is wild. Like, people ride on buses to come to this tuna auction. They drag in a 400-pound tuna. You've got, like, you know, eight guys dragging this tuna in, and they carve it up right in front of you. I was, like, wrapping pallets of tuna as it was going by. So I'm now, I guess,
you take any souvenirs?
A tuna expert. Well, we got a tuna donburi when we were done, and it was phenomenal.
Oh,
absolutely nice. Phenomenal.
That is on my bucket list for sure, is to get myself a bowl of that tuna.
That's awesome. Yeah, so back to Aomori City, I guess one thing I would want to know about the city itself, it's positioned right as it's kind of, I don't want to say the connection between Honshu and Hokkaido, but is it a touristy destination, or is it more of just kind of like more residentially based, where people who live there are frequently moving about? Or is it more, I guess, I don't know. What am I trying to get at here?
Well, I find like New Orleans, for example, we are definitely a port city. You know, the Mississippi River is always busy, but we're also a tourist destination. Aomori, where does it fit in? Like, is it strictly just like pretty much all business over there and it's like a bunch of like locals, or is it a tourist destination like I'm describing?
I think it's definitely a little, I mean, as with a lot of places in Japan, both. And that's because you're not only getting international visitors, but it's very popular with Japanese domestic travelers. Who are going to see, you know, the history of that area, the culture, the food is so, so delicious. So a lot of people are going up there, you know, to stay in the hot springs, to, you know, eat all of the specialty products that they produce, you know, everything from apples to the tuna to, you know, senbei nabe and like, you know, I saw Megan just make a happy face.
I'm thinking about senbei jiru.
Yes, senbei jiru. Yes, it's popular with Japanese people too. So in that way, it definitely is still a tourist destination, even if it's not as yet incredibly popular with, you know, American visitors. And also you're getting a lot of East Asian tourists as well that are going there for the skiing, that are going there for group travel through like the national forests. There's a lot of different reasons to visit Aomori. So I would say it's both.
Awesome. So yeah, it's not really just like a place where you pass by to get to Hokkaido. It's actually people are stopping.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I think it is a little bit seasonal too. Like, you know, the big seasons are going to be your Nebita season and your ski season. And other times it's a little bit more sparse, but it definitely does have a draw. And I think there's also a really interesting angle as well. Misawa Air Force Base is very close by. So you'll often see, you know, families, either, you know, enlisted people or their families that are visiting the city as well, or using it as a jumping off point to visit other places.
Definitely.
All right. Well, what Doug and I usually like to do when we talk about places that we have personally not traveled to before, or sometimes we have and we just like to discuss like where we've been. But I know for a fact I've never been to Aomori Prefecture. I've never been even that far north. I think the furthest north I've been to is Nagano Prefecture. So I'm interested in going up there. So a few destinations I really want to go to is first the Nebuta Museum. I really want to see that. It looks really, really cool. I mean, New Orleans, we have festivals, we have Mardi Gras, we have floats. So I feel like that's like a connection between New Orleans and Japan again. And then y'all talked about this, but if someone could elaborate, that'd be great for me. I'm a huge Japanese castle buff. So like Hirosaki Castle, I need to go see this thing. Like my goal in life is to see every castle in Japan.
That's a big undertaking.
I would say
I would want to do the same thing, honestly. I mean, it is a really beautiful castle. I think it's one of the smaller castles, but the area around it is really beautiful. And especially there are so many cherry blossom trees. So it is a prime cherry blossom viewing spot. And they have that really beautiful moat around the castle. So it's just absolutely stunning. If you look up Hirosaki Cherry Blossom Festival, you're going to get all of these gorgeous photos of, you know, just cherry blossom petals in the water and, you know, on the wind and around the castle. And it, you know, has a very deep history as well. So there's definitely a lot to learn from that area. I think they are still renovating some parts of the castle, which they should be done with in the next couple years. But you can still go and see, I guess, the campus, if you would call it that. Yeah. I don't know, Megan, if you want to share any of your personal experiences with Hirosaki Castle.
I've done cherry blossom viewing there. Absolutely beautiful. I would definitely recommend it if you're there in the springtime. I'd actually love to tackle Nebuta. I know Kay, I was discussing earlier as we were prepping that she hasn't had the opportunity to go. You're spot on, Jennifer. It's like my little New Orleans heart was so happy at Nebuta because it reminded me of Mardi Gras. It's like domesticated Mardi Gras. It's just got this great atmosphere. Anybody can participate. The floats are absolutely beautiful. So for people who aren't familiar, they're like these enormous rice paper floats that they work on throughout the year. And they are human powered. So they're a bunch of semi or really drunk men normally that are, you know, pushing these floats and tilting these floats and turning these floats. And there are taiko drums between each of the floats playing the same cadence. And then between the floats and the taiko drummers are these cores of whomever wants to buy the official Nebuta uniform, yukata, and hop in and do the Nebuta dance, which is to hop from foot to foot and shout "Rasera, Rasera, 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 Rasera" over and over for 2 hours. And you have these bells on you and they're jingling. And when they fall off, it's considered good luck for people on the sidelines to get a bell. So if my bell would fall off, I'd pick it up and just very gently, like, toss it towards the crowd. It's just such an amazing time. And I will, you know, want to point out that there is Aomori City, Aomori Nebuta, and then there's also a Nebuta festival in a town called Goshikawara. That's known as Tachi Nebuta. So Aomori City Nebuta floats are kind of square and short and squat, maybe like a story tall, as compared to Goshikawara's Tachi Nebuta, where these floats are like 2 and 3 stories tall. They're very very square, narrow, so that they can fit down the narrow streets, and very tall. It's incredible to see. And then there's Hirosaki Nebuta as well, which is a much more dignified Nebuta. Their floats are a lot more like history oriented. And I don't know if it was just my particular experience, but we like sat in chairs and there was a program and we oohed and aahed at those floats. It was a very different experience and they all have their own vibe. So I would encourage, if you're ever going to go up there for Nebuta, see if you can hit all three. And I'm sure there are even more than the big three, but each one's got its own flavor. And they're all just so amazing.
And I was just going to say, add on to that, that even if you're not there during Nebuta season, that you can still experience a little bit of the floats themselves, because they do take the year's winning floats and place them in the Warase Museum, which is the Nebuta Museum, so you can go see them. You can get a little taste of what the festival atmosphere is like. And even there are some hotels that are Nebuta themed as well. And I had mentioned earlier to Megan and Doug that there's a hotel called Aomoria that's actually more like a ryokan, and they have hot springs there as well. But the whole inn is Nebuta themed and built out to be like a Nebuta festival, complete with, you know, festival stalls where you can play some of the games that you would play during the summer. You can try some of the festival foods. They have Nebuta performances, so you can do like dinner and a show kind of style. And then tons and tons of Nebuta related souvenirs and everything like that that you can buy. So you can still experience like the passion that people have for Nebuta outside of, you know, the summer season if you can't make it there during that time.
Well, that's something for me to consider.
Yeah. And I will say too, the only time I've been to Aomori was for Nebuta Matsuri. And it was, try to spend more than a day. I did when I was living in Iwaki, I took a bus up in the morning and it was like an 8-hour bus ride. And then we got there and we were out, you know, around, we went to the museum and saw the floats kind of hanging out in the, it's kind of like a warehouse area, kind of hung out there, took some pictures, and then staked our ground off for the parade. And then hopped back on the bus at like 10 p.m. to ride back down to Iwaki. So spend more than a 24-hour window, round trip there, because it did seem like it was a lot of fun. Is it right by the station? I feel like it was right by the station, right? Okay. My memory, it's been a while, so.
No, the Waseda Museum is basically right outside of Aomori Station.
I remember where we got dropped off for the buses, it was like kind of all within walking distance, not very far. So if you do end up going up there, you know, just for a short period of time, like training up the day of and leaving, it's all very, you don't have to worry about hopping on a bus to go across town to get to where it is. It's all city central.
You know, Kay can probably speak to it more than I can because I was fortunate enough to live in the area and be able to go back to my own apartment. But it is extremely competitive to get hotel rooms for Nebuta. So you definitely want to plan in advance if you're going to be visiting Aomori for Nebuta.
And that's good advice, really, for any of the major festivals that you're looking at experiencing. We were kind of talking about earlier the great three festivals of Tohoku. And if you're going to be going to any of these big festivals or big events, it's always better to get those hotel rooms booked in advance and your flights as well, because it really does book up quickly. And it's not just international visitors that are, you know, coming to see, of course, it's all of the domestic travelers as well, because Japanese people really do love traveling around Japan and, you know, learning about all of the history of these different places. So they are, you know, absolutely coming in large numbers to see these festivals as well.
Also, Americans are a bit spoiled. Airbnb is not really a thing in Aomori. So just a heads up, if you're like me, I'm very much like, book that Airbnb on my way there. And that is not going to work for you in Aomori. So just be careful.
Yeah. But I always, you know, more than Airbnb, honestly, I'm always recommending to, if you want to go more budget for accommodations, that take advantage of those business hotels. They're so clean. The service is great. A lot of times you can book your room with breakfast included. You know, you're never going to sacrifice safety, cleanliness, service, or any of that when you're going budget in Japan. And that's, I think, one of the better things about it. So, you know, stay at some of the traditional inns as well, especially if you're going with a few of your friends or a family or what have you. The prices get cheaper the more people that you have, because it's built by occupancy. So there's an incentive to have more people to your room, so you can get that really traditional Japanese inn experience without having to really break the bank.
Good travel advice. Doug, are there any places in Aomori Prefecture that you wanted to ask them about, that you're curious about going to visit, since you've only spent less than 24 hours there?
Yeah, I don't count the full 24 since half of that was traveling through the rest of Tohoku. not one of them I brought up earlier was the tomb that we shall not name.
Seriously? Shingamura. About that?
No, I had heard about it and I was like, oh man, that sounds kind of funny. So again, it's one of those things that it's weird that you would want to go check it out, even though it's probably not the highlight of the trip or anything like
of
that.
Of course
but,
not, no.
I'm kind of in the same boat in terms of Hirosaki Castle. I would love to see that. I do enjoy just kind of going to those different historical sites. I think that's really cool. I also, since I had been to Nebuta, I would love to go again, but it's not really a priority in terms of my next trip. I do want to attend one of those auctions. I think that would be really fun. But also, I wanted to ask and see if you knew, and if you don't, it's okay, but any big name or popular breweries, whether it's beer or sake, in the Aomori area. I know there's Hachinohe Shuzo, which is one of the breweries that's, I guess, most famous there. But, you know, is that the most famous one, or are there other ones that I should be putting on my radar?
So there are a few. I would have to rack my brain, because one of them is actually a big favorite of mine, and I know it's got turtle in the name, and I'm totally blanking on it. No, there are a lot of really great sake breweries in Aomori, and you can actually buy, I was so surprised at the variety of sake that they were selling even at the Warase Museum. They just had like a really nice variety. So you can find, you know, a lot of, because their rice is incredible in Aomori. So they have really fantastic sake. I need to like try to remember what the name of it was. It was something, Kame something. Oh man. It's always when you get asked that it just goes
right at your brain.
but they also do really good cider, which I'm referring to the alcoholic cider as opposed to apple cider. It is apple cider, though. That's the thing, is it's apple cider, but cider, C-I-D-R-E. That's one of their exports is apples. They produce the best apples in Japan and the most apples in Japan. So a lot of things are going to be apple flavored in Aomori. And you can do, you know, fun activities where you go out and pick apples. I've seen even some where you go out and pick apples, and it's also a cider brewery. So you can go have like a little picnic lunch in the apple orchards and then go try the apple cider. And so that's a fun one, but I would say sake for sure. And then try the apple cider. That would be my recommendation. Try anything.
Do they have apple cider? I'm sorry. Do they have apple sake teenies?
You know what? I bet you they do. Or at
I
least
sake teenies are such an American thing.
I know, right?
It would be more say, like a.
I'm asking for all of our American craft sake beverage drinkers over here.
I think it would be more like a chuhai.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be down for the apple cider. Like, that sounds right up my alley, honestly.
Yeah, no, it's...
Apple anything is... Like, their apples are, like, the size of your face, too. They're so good. Yeah. Apple pie, they're really into apple pie as well.
They make pie? It's so hard to find pie in Japan, I find.
With or without cinnamon?
So I do have to admit, the last time I had apple pie in Aomori, it was out of Starbucks. So, because you know how Japan is with their like limited edition and like localization of everything. So there was like an apple based Starbucks drink and an apple pie at the Starbucks, and it was really good. Hopefully it was all using local apples, but yes, it was like your traditional cinnamon apple pie.
Ooh. All right.
I've had more of like a kind of like a puff pastry with apple. And that was so, so, so good. There's definitely something different about their apples.
So they're known for their apples. Now that we're on topic of food, I'm hungry. but it's really...
Just in time for dinner.
I know, right? But so I'm really into like the whole apple scene over there. I really am interested in checking it out. And then earlier we were talking about the tuna, Megan, that you were complimenting about. Is that what they're known for, seafood wise, or is there some other seafood that like they're like really known for?
Oh, hotate.
Hotate.
Yeah. So scallops. Yeah. They were my region. So actually, the region that I taught in, all of my students, their parents were fishermen. So they're they're hauling in tuna. They're hauling in scallops, all kinds of fish, octopus. Like I've been gifted with an octopus tentacle randomly before and just like random bags of fish. So seafood in that area. Also, there's a longstanding joke that the town that I lived in was called Kanita, which means crab patty. But never once did I eat crab while I was there. So I don't actually know whether crabs are a thing or not.
Aomori's like looks like a crab, right? Like it looks kind of like a crab claw. If you look at the peninsulas.
Shape.
Yeah. It's like, all right, sorry.
Also, the sea urchin there is really wonderful as well.
I did not embark in the sea urchin, but I did eat many a hotate while I was there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a sea urchin lover myself, but I didn't discover how lovely it was until I got up north. Because I think, when we get it out here, it's always very bitter. But in northern Japan, it is so sweet and delicious. So I think even if you're not a sea urchin fan, definitely give it another try if you find yourself in Tohoku or even Hokkaido. And, Aomori is supposed to be a really good one for, and I remember having it, but in where it wasn't like the focal point of the dish, not as like sushi or anything, but as a topper, and it was absolutely amazing. And I would highly recommend going to izakaya in the like Hirosaki or closer to like Hachinohe area of Aomori, because I absolutely am obsessed with the Tsugaru Shamisen restaurants that they have. And I think one of them is called Aya, and they do performances of Tsugaru Shamisen, which is unlike anything else. I really firmly believe that they're kind of like the rock stars of Shamisen, because they just, it's totally different, really like fast paced, driven Shamisen playing, and it's unlike anything else. It's such a cool thing to see, and if you get to have some awesome izakaya food or, even kaiseki and listen to Shamisen while you do it, that's just the perfect evening in my opinion.
They refer to it, so it's Tsugaru Jamisen. So with that J in there, which, is just like a Japanese linguistic thing, but like from the English perspective, it is more rocking, right? Like if you ever heard the Yoshida brothers, it's kind of that kind of element. So I like, I bring out my rock hands. I'm like, yeah, the Jamisen, we're going to jam.
Yes, the Jamisen. I love that.
That seems like something I would be interested in going to do. Yeah, Shamisen like restaurant. Like, not necessarily going for the food, because it seems like the focal point is actually the performance. And I'm really into that. Yeah.
I want to say, and this is going to date me way back to like PS2 days, they had a DDR game that had a Tsugaru like game song. And I want to say it had Shamisen in it.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was about like more of a historical thing. I didn't realize that was actually like the style of Shamisen play until way later.
I'm amazed that you remember that. I had never put that together.
I remember the stupidest crap.
No, I remember that song too. And I do remember also kind of making the connection later and being like, oh, okay, I get it.
Before we leave food, I do just want to throw back to what Kay was saying earlier about the rice in Aomori. Like, It had never really occurred to me, but the rice in Aomori is absolutely phenomenal. Like, you're thinking rice is rice, but no, it legitimately just all on its own with nothing on it, just eating rice was so flavorful and delicious. So if you have the chance to eat rice in Aomori, I strongly recommend it, or to bring a bag home with you.
I'm down for that. I love myself a good dish of rice, sounds actually. So, but earlier, you know, in the discussion, we were discussing, you know, getting to Aomori, how, you know, you could take the Shinkansen, you could take an airplane. And for the Shinkansen, I'm assuming you could do it like a JR pass. But for local travel within the prefecture, you know, what is that looking like? Because Megan, you were even talking about Inaka, the countryside. So there's a lot of countryside. You know, what's traveling within the prefecture like, and how can tourists do that? Like, do you need a rental car, or can you do it with local transportation?
Okay, you might want to tackle this one. And I just want to make a quick note, because I learned this one the hard way when I visited Aomori in 2017. You can take the Shinkansen. Most of the Shinkansen, you can just kind of hop on and you can hop into whatever seat that you like. You don't need to reserve one ahead of time. At least as of 2018, that was not the case for the one going up to Aomori. You do need to reserve a specific seat. So there was a very kind conductor that helped me and my husband help the foreigners to get a seat, because the train was completely booked. So just be aware of that, and do know that you do need to reserve your specific seat ahead of time if you're taking the Shinkansen up to Aomori. Okay, I will let you talk a little bit in terms of the tourist experience in traveling. I did not have a car while I lived in Aomori, so I was very much bound to the local bus system and train system, which, you know, I will say, you got some mountains in the middle, you have to go around them. So it can make it a little bit difficult depending on where it is that you want to go. But if you're using Aomori City as your hub and you're exploring in the Aomori City area and kind of venturing out words for like a day trip and coming back into Aomori City, I do think that the train system and the bus system can be very handy.
Yes. And there is, you know, there are local trains that do go to a lot of the main areas. I think when you're getting out into the more outdoorsy parts of Aomori, that, you know, it's good to either book ahead a, you know, highway bus, depending on where it is that you're going, or use the local tourist information centers as your resources. It's kind of hard to like give an answer that's sort of all encompassing, because there is such a difference between the city parts of Aomori and the countryside. So it's really good to use those local convention and visitors bureaus as your resource, because they're going to be able to provide you with translated bus schedules, with, you know, train timetables. Looking at the JR East website is a great resource, because they do operate in that area. You also have the Aomori Railway that you can rely on. But for that, like, really niche local, kind of like the local bus timetables, it's great to approach the tourist information centers for that, because they're going to have more comprehensive information. A lot of times those timetables either aren't available online, or they're only available in Japanese. So if you don't have the language background, then it's good to kind of lean on those information centers, because they are a great resource and they have English speaking staff. They're there to help you. So I would say, you know, public transportation is absolutely possible. There are even tourist passes available as well. I think not only for the highway buses, but also for railways. And then, of course, you've got the Japan Rail Pass too. So there are a lot of options. But I would just say, figure out where it is that you want to go. And you're always welcome to contact our office too. And we, you know, always help people plot out their itineraries if they've got more niche questions that they need answered about. You know, if I'm wanting to go to these places, you know, what would the best order be? Or, you know, what are the transportation options available to me to get from this point A to point B? We can always help you with that. And then if you're already there, or if you're just going on the fly, definitely go to the tourist information offices because they can just help you in real time.
That's awesome. That's good advice, honestly, because you kind of dipped into the itinerary thing. And that's actually one of my questions I have for, I guess, both of you, honestly, is obviously, if you plan to go to Hokkaido, passing through Aomori is pretty easy and you can include it in your itinerary. But maybe for those who aren't planning to go to Hokkaido, how would you say would be the best way to include Aomori Prefecture in your itinerary? Like, how far up Japan do you feel is necessary in order to be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to take like a little side trip over to Aomori, or like a day trip or something?
I think it's great as part of like a Tohoku itinerary, honestly. And I think that that's, you know, a lot of people sleep on Tohoku, and it's a really fantastic region of Japan. It really has a lot of its own unique culture, a lot of its own unique, you know, culinary flavors. And it's definitely something that a lot more people should go out and explore. And you can easily, you know, with that Japan Rail Pass, make stops off in key areas. You know, if you're going up from Tokyo, you know, make a stop in Nikko, see Toshogu Shrine, keep going up, you know, north, and maybe make your way over to Aizu Wakamatsu. Then you can keep going up north more to Sendai, and then you can continue up and maybe you go to Iwate for a little bit too, and then you make your way to Aomori. So there's a lot to do in all of those places that are absolutely worth traveling to. So it doesn't always have to be like a side offshoot. And I think Aomori is a great destination for people who maybe they've done, you know, what we call the golden route, that Tokyo, Mount Fuji, Kyoto, Osaka. They've done that. They want to see another side of Japan. And I think that you have a lot more opportunity for kind of those more authentic local experiences when you get into the Tohoku region. You know, the people are so warm. They're so inviting. They're always, you know, happy to help, even if there is that language barrier. I think make Tohoku your itinerary.
Oh, I love that. For me, I did drag my husband to Aomori, and he loved it. Well, I mean, it, you know, like you said, it is off the beaten path. I commented earlier, we took the Shinkansen. At the time, the Shinkansen only went as far as Shin Aomori. So we took the Shinkansen to the last stop, got on the local train, took the local train to the last stop, got on the bus, and took the bus to the last stop on the entire island of Honshu. So my husband is like, where are we? Like, what just happened? I would say to make it a thematic trip, right? Like, have a reason to go out there. So I really want to go back to Nebuta. Make Nebuta the reason for the trip, and then find something else to add on to it, right? So Japan is really hot in the summer, which we were talking about earlier. So we want to go for Nebuta, but we don't really want to melt the entire time. So I haven't been to Hokkaido, and I haven't been to Sapporo. Hakodate is also a really beautiful... I actually have been to Hokkaido. I forgot we went to Hakodate, but we decided to do like a northern tour. So we're going to, our reason for going is Aomori Nebuta. And then from there, we're going to take the Shinkansen up to Hakodate, and we're going to travel out to Sapporo and, you know, see this northern area. We also did stop off. The Shinkansen goes straight through Sendai. So when we went several years ago, we stopped off and spent a few hours in Sendai before hopping back on the train with our JR Rail Pass and going back down. You know, whether if you're into skiing, that's an amazing time to go up there. There's great skiing all over the Tohoku region. So you could do a tour of just various ski resorts within the Tohoku region as well. So you can make it a really thematic tour as well. And really, I mean, Aomori during Nebuta is fantastic, but the real Aomori is the snowy Aomori.
Of course.
So you're talking about making a trip out of it. How much time do you think a person needs to allow for a proper trip to not, well, we could say Tohoku as a whole, but specifically Aomori? How many days would you allocate to Aomori if you were going for the first time but have done your research?
I'm thinking about it. It's a little bit hard for me to say because I have people there that I want to see, which is a different experience. But, you know, the different sides of Val Morey, let's say you're going there for a Nebuta or a ski type thing, right? You're going to want to Nebuta and or ski for at least a couple of days. And then there's the onsen experience. There's some beautiful onsens in Asamushi Onsen and all over throughout the prefecture. You're going to want to go to Hirosaki, which is a really nice day trip. Sorry, obviously my home base is Val Morey City in my head. You might be doing the Nebuta tour, right? So I would say minimum 3 days in order to just really be able to sink into the culture and the community and get a sense for what Val Morey is all about.
Yeah, that was going to be my recommendation too, is 3 days at least. You also got to take into account that if you are going to be going to through some of the more mountainous areas, that you need to allow for a little bit more time for that transit. So it's good to set aside a few days so that you don't feel so rushed, like that you can't really spend enough time in each spot that you're visiting, because you have to take off and get back, you know, so you have enough time to get back. I would say 3 days is really good. And all of the places that she mentioned are great, but I also can't stress enough how much I really loved seeing all of the nature of Val Morey. I think it's absolutely not to be missed. And I think like the Shirakami-Sanchi itself is like one of the largest, I think it's one of the largest remaining virgin beach forests that there are. So it's definitely something to see. And I can't even remember what tree it was, but just the smells of the forest and even the forests around Lake Towada are so different. There are some trees there that are, they smell like candy cane or cotton candy, excuse me. Like there's this like sweet smell throughout the forest. Like it's just a completely different experience. And there's so many hiking trails. You know, they've got that really beautiful, it's like the 12 lakes, Juniko. And each one is like a different color, blue or green. So definitely if you're a nature lover, Val Morey is such a great place for you.
That's a great hike. I had forgotten I had done that one until you mentioned it. It was beautiful.
So just before we wrap everything up, and you have just mentioned a couple of places we hadn't really talked about just yet, but is there anything else, you know, important or maybe a hidden gem, something you personally discovered that maybe isn't normally in the tour books or the guides or on the websites and stuff that travelers should know about? You know, you don't have to go into multi-level detail or anything like that, but just, you know, if you have one or two things before we wrap everything up.
I'll let Megan go first. You're the person who lived there.
My job is maybe not tourist. You know, I had mentioned earlier going to Tapizaki and having these incredible cliffside views of Hokkaido and this monument with the button on it. Like, it's it's so absurd. If you've never heard the song Tsugaru Kaikyo, it's basically an Enka song about how it's just always really snowy and cold in Tsugaru, Val Morey, and this woman followed her lover there and he immediately dumped her and she couldn't wait to leave. It's just this great song that is pouring out of this giant monument in Tapizaki, because that's what Val Morey has to claim to fame up there. And it's just so near and dear to my heart. So while Tapizaki is probably not going to be on a tourist's list of things to do, I think that is my hidden gem because it brings me so much joy.
I don't know if mine's necessarily so much a hidden gem, but I think it's definitely something that's really cool to see. I think if you're there during, you know, the winter time, which as Megan mentioned, that's kind of like the real Val Morey sort of, but if you are around that area in the winter, definitely do the ropeway for Mount Hakoda and see the snow monsters. That, I think, is one of the cool kind of phenomenons that they get in Tohoku. And it's not just Val Morey, but, you know, I think we've talked about it on a previous podcast, that there's this phenomenon of snow packing onto the trees so densely that they look like little snow monsters you know, standing. And it just, it's so widespread so that you can get up on that ropeway and see just all of these snow monsters out underneath you as far as the eye can see, you know, covered, and they're just trees covered in snow, but it's such a cool looking thing to see up close.
Oh, I'll also have to give a shout out for Asamushi Onsen. They have some really beautiful views of the Tsugaru Bay from the onsen. So if you have the opportunity, it's just a train stop or two outside of downtown Aomori City. It's really quiet there, and some beautiful ryokans or more modern hotels that have onsens in them with amazing views.
Yeah,
all right.
Sleep on the onsen.
That's great. See, y'all are making me want to go to Aomori. I never actually wanted to go to Aomori before, outside of Nebuta. I was like, crap. Another one to put on the list, you know?
The list is growing, Doug. The list is growing.
I know, it keeps growing. I want to get your definitive stances on whether or not the woods and forests of Aomori are green or blue.
I mean, in my experience, they're green. Maybe somebody who has a little bit less or like a different color blindness scale would say that they're blue.
And this may also be a joke on the play on words that everything that's green is owl. So
yeah,
I guess it would be blue then, wouldn't it?
Okay, we got both of our bases covered, so we're good, I guess, right?
Well, that's all of the discussions that we have for today. Thank you both, Megan and Kay, for coming on and helping us explore Aomori Prefecture. Now that the borders are finally open, you know, yay, we hope that our listeners who are planning to travel to Japan in the near future get a chance to go explore Aomori Prefecture and, you know, listen back to this episode when your trip gets closer and, you know, go to those places that Megan and Kay told us about.
Yep. Yep. That's awesome. And I actually had, Kay, for your reference, I had a friend ask me about Hokkaido, and I just directed them straight to the podcast we had with you last time. So I was like, I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know one place you can find a lot of good information. So thank you again so much to both of you.
Yes, and thank you.
Yeah, and I did want to give both of you an opportunity. I don't know if you wanted to let people know if you had anything to pitch or promote for your own personal social media or your companies or anything you're working on, just so that people can know what else you're working on outside of promoting Aomori.
I'll pop in, let Kay give her contact information so that you can reach out to her for help on your Aomori trip. I spend the vast majority of my Japan-related time working with the Jet Alumni Association Mid-South chapter, which covers Louisiana, Mississippi, and Arkansas. As of late, I am also a country representative for Jet AA USA, which means that I'm helping out at the national level as well. So my pitch is right now, the Jet program applications are open. I know if you're listening to this podcast later, that may not help you, but they are open roughly around October, November of every year. So if you know somebody in your life who is interested in teaching English in Japan, let them know that the JET program exists as an opportunity to teach English over there, and to look out for that application cycle. And then when you come back from your JET experience, please join your local alumni association. There are 19 chapters in the United States, and there are many, many more than that globally. There are more than 40,000 JET alumni in the United States. So we are a mighty group of grassroots Japanese U.S. relations promoters. And that is all for me.
And if you want more information on Aomori or Japan in general, you can go to our website, which is just japan.travel. Real easy to remember. The Tohoku promotion division also has their own website as well, which is a great wealth of information, and that's just Tohoku Kanko, so TOHOKUKANKO.JP, and then you can select for your preferred language. You can also follow us on social media, where visitjapan.us on Instagram, and pretty much the same variation on Twitter, and you can find us on Facebook too. We're always posting inspirational content for you guys to consider for future trips. And, you know, the biggest thing that I have to say as far as the development was that we're open. So all the more reason, if you have any questions for planning your trips, you can email us at infolax@jnto.go.jp, and we'll be happy to answer your questions.
Awesome. Thank you both for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow. What an amazing journey we had talking about traveling through Aomori with Kay and Megan. We hope you were able to learn a lot about Aomori Prefecture and are ready to add it onto your next Japan travel itinerary. What destinations are on your Aomori travel wish list? Share them with us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Crew of Japan Podcast. That's KREWEOFJAPAN Podcast. While you're there, follow and like, and let us know how you're enjoying the podcast. And of course, if you have any topics that you'd like us to cover, let us know.
One last piece of housekeeping before we end the episode. On November 16th at 5 p.m., Japan Society of New Orleans, Japan Club, APAS, and JETA Mid-South, our local JET alumni chapter, will be having yet another happy hour at Wetland Sake. So come on out and say hi to the crew, and everyone else, of course.
That's it for today. Until next time.